It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Hello, William Sackett. We are recording this program on Thursday, January 26th, and we are recording it at 10:42 in the morning. And we're doing it at 10:42, not 10:30, because we've already had our pre-show gathering. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, Public Affairs Specialist, is away on assignment today. But we have a special guest that we're going to get to just momentarily about a topic that's very relevant, and the citizens of Biloxi can play a role in it as well. But we have had some really huge issues here at City Hall. The first one was at City Council meeting on Tuesday, where there was a lot of discussion over something that's been in the works for a number of years, and that is known as the Bella Vie Planned Community. And the Bella Vie Planned Community is going to be in the northern part of the city, and it's going to cover about 600 acres. And this 600-acre project is going to be built in phases, but it's going to include single-family homes, it's going to include apartments, it's going to include a business component, it's going to include some new big roadways that'll be east and west. It all sounds wonderful, but by the same token, you're going to see that basic argument or that basic discussion that you normally see when you go to do something new. There are going to be people that say, I moved out to this area for a reason. I moved out to the northern part of the city because it's peaceful living, not a lot of traffic, and I like it the way it is. What you're talking about doing is introducing a lot of traffic, a lot of residents, just a whole thing that is going to dramatically impact my way of life. On the other hand, you've got a developer who has rights to ask to do things with his property. Not saying everything's approved, but he has the right to ask. The other thing that you're looking at is the city of Biloxi can't grow to the west and it can't grow to the east. And where we are on the peninsula right now, you have a lot of elevation issues. So the way to grow is to the north. So this is going to be a basic thing where you're going to see government in action, where the citizens are going to come out and they're going to say what their views are on this. And ultimately, the Biloxi City Council is going to have to make a decision on here's what we're going to do. The very first thing they did was they've set a public hearing for the first week in March where they want to get more information from the developer and they want to give more citizens the opportunity to comment on this. And then after that, they're going to take all of that information and make a decision. So that's what we saw on Tuesday at the City Council meeting. That was the big issue. The other thing that we have going on is the State of the City. It's coming up February 1st, and we have been going through, I guess you would say, it's an arduous process with Mayor Gillage over the State of the City and what he wants to impart in that presentation he's going to be making to the luncheon audience, as well as on our website, as well as on Cable One. And William, that State of the City audience, that's the largest audience that he has every year in one place to talk about everything going on in our city. And as you know, we've got a lot going on.
The events and the activities within this particular city is unbelievable, as you know, and as you voted for the mayor, Fofo Gillage. And sometimes he can become a little testy. He can also become a little happy because there is so much happening, and it comes from his enthusiasm of wanting to share with you this, this, and this, and that. So this is a little bit of behind-the-scenes kind of that's happening. End game, though, is it is an important, it is strategic, it is significant what he says and how he presents it.
And he wants to do it in a way that's cohesive and doesn't take up a lot of people's time, but there are a lot of messages, and we're trying to include everything that we can in there, but there's always going to be some stuff that's going to come up down the road that we're going to be unveiling whenever all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Joe Boney, the fire chief of the Biloxi Fire Department, which I guess is where you'd want to have your fire chief.
That's right.
The chief of the Biloxi Fire Department joins us this morning. Joe, we're here to talk about something that's very important that we're going to get to in a moment, but we've had already Mardi Gras meetings. We've got two parades and then a children's parade, but give people an idea of what y'all have been talking about on these Mardi Gras parades meetings.
Well, thank you, Vincent. Mr. Sackett, how are you? The meetings we've been going through are with the major groups, of course, Neptune and Gulf Coast Carnival. And we just try to get all the players together, the public safety personnel, and as well as the groups, the Mardi Gras groups themselves.
And don't forget Public Works.
Right, Public Works. And make sure everybody that gets to come experience Mardi Gras is safe and happy. You know, it's a great day, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into this, the protection of thousands of people within a very confined area. Gets to be a bit tough, but as long as we know what to expect and what, you know, what they're expecting, what we expect of them, it usually works out pretty good.
And the big thing is this presents a number of issues for you because you've got a major traffic issue in downtown Biloxi. How do you fight if there was a fire call? Because I know you got the fire trucks in the parade too.
Right, we have units in the parade, but we stage units around the perimeter of the parade so we can get around the area. We actually have one truck in the parade, stage in the parade route, as well as small vehicles that we can quickly access areas for emergencies, such as medical emergencies.
Things that are maybe not even involved in the parade. And what I'm gathered when you said you have a truck stationed in the parade, something could happen with that truck, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That truck may have to respond going against the parade route, you know, to get to a call. We had this issue in years past. Quite a few past years, there's been some fires and some major fires during and immediately after Mardi Gras. So we know this can happen. We just stage our equipment to our best advantage so we can continue to respond.
Well, my point is that truck could peel off of that parade route, couldn't it?
Right. The one at the back of the parade route can peel off at any time. That's why a lot of people say, well, I see the fire truck, that's the end of the parade. Well, it's strategically placed there so he can get out in case of an emergency.
Okay, so now we got a little insight into the state of the city. We got a little insight into Gulf Coast Carnival and Neptune parade planning, and which y'all also do after the event to talk about how things went or didn't go. But the other thing, the reason we've got Fire Chief Boney here today is because Cecilia has had him on the show in the past to talk about our USAR team, Urban Search and Rescue. Five members of the Biloxi Fire Department were activated and went and responded to the call whenever the USAR team was activated by MEMA, Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, and that was several days ago. However, the Biloxi Fire Department and the West End Hose Company, you also have something in the works, and it is a result of a phone call that you received from that tornado-stricken area in Hattiesburg and Petal. Explain what's going on and how it all got to where it is today.
Well, you know, as you know, and many people may or may not know, the Fire Museum, West End Hose Company, has a relief organization that we try to respond around the country in the wake of natural or man-made disasters. We got a call from a young lady who lives in Petal. She's actually works for the Mississippi Burn Center, Tammy Moore, and she advised us that there were quite a few first responders that lived in Petal that were in need of assistance, but she knew they wouldn't ask for help. So she called on their behalf and asked if we could come assist them. They have some, I know of four or five first responders who lost their homes. And they do not have the ability to remove them homes, to, you know, take them and move them, clear the property, I guess is what I'm saying. So she called on their behalf, and we assured her we would be there. So and in the meantime, you know, after the tornadoes, I'm a very good friend of Chief Presley in Hattiesburg, and so I called him over the weekend to make sure he was okay and didn't need anything else. And like as firefighters do, he was fine. But I made the offer as well to him and his personnel and anyone in Hattiesburg about if they needed assistance. We were planning a relief trip in that area. So he got back with me yesterday, and he said, "Can you come tomorrow? Because we really need some help." So,
okay.
So I unfortunately had to tell him it would be next week before we could get up there, but they need some assistance too, so we're gonna make a trip, and we're gonna work in Petal and in Hattiesburg. I'm proud to say the last trip we made was over in the Baton Rouge area after the floods, and we befriended a group of firemen, an organization over there from the Independence Fire Department, a small department in Louisiana. And we made such an impact on them that their chief called me yesterday and said that he wanted to bring a group to work with us. Mm-hmm. So it's really working out.
Well, give people an idea of what you're going to do when you get there. How many people we're going to have going, and what do you see them? What do you envision them doing?
We have a rather small team, 8 to 10 man team. We can break them up into two teams. We're bringing equipment with us that we bring from down here up there, heavy equipment, and we'll do demolishing homes that have been destroyed, clearing property. We found after the tornadoes in Oklahoma that there's not a whole lot of rebuilding that can be done after a devastating tornado.
Of what's there.
Right. So in this instance, what we'll mainly be doing is demolition. We'll be clearing property and moving it to the road to be picked up. Mm-hmm. We'll be leaving Tuesday morning. We'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and possibly Saturday. Because of the close proximity, it's going to be day trips. We'll be taking the groups up there in the morning, and we'll be coming back in the evenings. We won't be staying in Hattiesburg like we normally do when we go. We stay in an area for a period of time. This area is close enough, we can go and come. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot less demand on our money, you know, mm-hmm. the money that's required to sustain this type
and
of effort.
And the money would be to feed our workers that are going to be up there. The money would be for the gasoline and the diesel and the fuel that has to go into this equipment. The money would be for the water that they're going to need to sustain them throughout the day. The money might be to buy more gloves that help them move some of this debris. The money would be for the fuel for our vehicles to go up there initially and to come back every day. The money would be used for some of those things, but the citizens of Biloxi can play a role in helping make sure that we are funded to go up there.
Right. We have a GoFundMe account, the Weston Hose Company. If you go to our Facebook page or even the fire department's Facebook page, you can access that account. We're asking for donations, monetary donations, to fund these trips. We do have money in our account now to be able to do this, but this money will allow us to the next time to be able to go at a moment's notice in the next event. So we kind of stay one ahead of try to anyway.
And we want to thank one of our residents, actually I guess two of our residents, and that would be Andrea Satanovich Osman, Andrea, and then maybe it's Andrea Satanovich Osman and Jay Osman, who heard you speak at a Katrina Plus 10 event down at the Orr O'Keeffe Museum of Art, and they came up with this idea to us, the suggestion that you should have this account in place for to go at a moment's notice, so you don't have to have a fund drive all the time.
Chief, can, besides donating money, have you or can people of Biloxi donate their time? Or maybe someone has a bulldozer, or someone may have tractors or wood or supplies. How about can they do that under this auspices?
Well, we normally do not take supplies because we just simply don't have the ability to haul them up there. We bring equipment. We're having to rent equipment, and the reason we rent equipment is because when we get into these areas, in some of these rural areas, and it's happened to us on many occasions, and the equipment breaks down, we are not responsible to fix it. We can call a 1-800 number, and they'll send a technician out to fix it. So that keeps us working. As far as people, we take volunteers with us. Now, I can't take small children or children under 18, but if you're an adult an adult male and female,
male
you and
watch
female,
out. You
right?
better
and you wanna and you wanna you really wanna come and help. We would more than happy be glad to take you. Now you have to understand that we cannot be responsible for your health, and you know if you get injured, we can't provide, you know, insurance for that. So you need to know what you're getting into before you make that decision.
And if somebody was interested in doing that, they could call the Biloxi Fire Chief's office at 435-6200, and you don't know unless you call. At least call and give your name and number and what you're looking to do. You may have a ton of bottled water that may help out. We generally don't carry cash and give out to residents and so forth, because what we found after Katrina, one of the helpful things was there were a number of gift cards that were given. So you know that money goes to where it needs to go. But the big thing is the GoFundMe account. Go to Facebook. You can go to the fire department page. You can go to West End Hose Company number 3, and we're going to have it on the city's website today and in a B-mail. And so it's going to be a pretty arduous task up there.
Yeah, we'll be quite busy, and it does wear you out. It's a full day's work. We like to get started early, and we work till dark. We're very limited on the amount of time, and I have not been in a situation yet where we didn't have enough work to do. We always have more, and it's the worst thing in the world to have to tell somebody, well, I don't have the time to work on your property. So we try to put as much time into these efforts as we can.
It's always great to see that Biloxi Fire Department entourage come in. I know it's West End Hose Company number 3, but you're carrying that Biloxi name to these communities, and you've always found that to be a very important thing.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of our mission is not just to help, you know, tear bricks and mortar down or rebuild bricks and mortar. We bring people with us that have witnessed and been through disasters, and they can talk to these people. We have trained people with us that actually talk to these people in these communities that have been affected and tell them, look, we've been through this. We know what it's like. We know where you're at this point in your life. You'll get past this. You know, it takes time, and it takes a community and people to help. And so we bring that as well with us, the bit of psychology to help them make it through these disasters. But I'll tell you what, the biggest thing to me is bringing these firemen that come with me and letting them experience, some of the younger guys, letting them experience this. And we have no shortage of help from them. They always step up and help, and they always seem to get a lot out of it.
Okay, GoFundMe on Facebook, and you can reach it on the city's Facebook page where we're going to have it. It's always on West End Hose Company number 3, and it's always to be found on the Biloxi Fire Department Facebook page. Let's back up for a second. What have you heard from our USAR team? We had 5 members from Biloxi, 5 members from the Gulfport Fire Department, which I'm sure the Biloxi ones worked harder than the ones from Gulfport, but what did they do and how long were they there?
Well, they beat Gulfport up there, I can tell you that. No, they got up there and they organized. They have a meeting point where all of these different departments will meet. They're given a mission, a specific area for search and rescue. In this case, they were doing search and rescue and collapsed structures and structures that were not safe for people to go in and look for victims. They did that for about 8 hours. They got there about 6 in the morning, and they got back home about 5 or 5:30 that evening. So they spent a lot of time up there doing. But when they left, every building had been searched. So
they completed their mission.
Right.
Okay, William Sackett. I can't think of a better note on how to end the show. Particularly, it looked to me like you were surprised when Chief Boney was talking about the psychological aspect of this.
It's so good because, as the chief said, these people are lost. These people are shattered. And to be able to take a beat and talk to them and let them know that there's hope and let them know that there is a future is so, so important. You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.